2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. I've got a lot to say tonight, and I don't know how good I'll bring it across. I know it's a good message, but I'm not sure I'm a good preacher, so you all try to understand what I'm trying to say, because some of these points are for you, and if you listen to some of these points, you'll find out they're for you. They were all for me, and I think they'll be for you too. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you have given us all that we need. And, oh Lord, that you have given us more than we deserve. And
yes,
we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for that beautiful song that blesses our hearts and that makes us understand and makes us aware of our responsibility and our lack of service and our lack of love and desire and willingness and faith. Oh Lord, now I pray that you bless the words that I'm about to speak.
Yes.
Not because I deserve to speak them or not because that I have an ability to speak them, but simply because, Lord, they're your words. And Lord, I believe you gave them to me. So I pray you'd bless them. And I pray you'd touch a heart or two hearts or several hearts tonight, Lord, to be willing and to believe, to listen and to just to do your will. Lord, I pray that you'd do whatever you have in mind tonight. Oh Lord, I pray you'd accomplish it in a marvelous way. Lord, we ask it all in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There's three things I'd like to bring out about this one verse. And first of all, it says, our gospel. You know, it's very interesting to me that it says our gospel. I can remember Paul saying my gospel. I can remember saying, if it's another gospel, it's wrong. Or if there's any other gospel. But he calls this our gospel. He says my gospel. And this says our gospel. How can we always say the gospel? I wonder why we always say the gospel. Have you ever thought that maybe it's because we don't want the responsibility that comes along with the gospel?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says when Jesus Christ came down to the world, it says that God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended his love for us. Now, I've seen that translated in other ways. Some people say he showed or he gave his love. But I believe that commended is the perfect word because commend love is to give with commitment, with responsibility. You see, when Jesus said, "I commend my spirit into thy hands," I believe it was a commitment that gave God responsibility of the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe right now that when he says that it's our gospel, I think he's saying it is responsibility.
Amen.
And when he says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, that's the page over, he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It said he did the reconciling, but he committed something to us. He committed the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, that commitment does not mean that God is still going to take care of everything from now on. He committed it to us. And no longer can we say it's just the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's our gospel too. It's
Amen.
Our gospel.
Amen.
And it ought to be our gospel. We ought to lay hold of it, but we don't. That's why we call it the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. Or we praise the Lord that the gospel is preached. It's our gospel. Don't you want the gospel? Don't you want to take the responsibility
Amen.
For yourself? Let me tell you, Paul, when he said my gospel, he's saying everything I've got, I'm putting into that gospel because it's mine now. And let me tell you, if you're saved, it's your gospel. If you're saved, if you've had anything to do with it, for eternity it's going to be wrapped around you, just like those clothes were wrapped around Lazarus. Just like Jesus came and was wrapped in swaddling clothes, that gospel is just going to be all over you. You know, it said in the Old Testament that we ought to write the law and meditate on the law, but we ought to write it on our foreheads and on our hearts. We ought to write it on our doorpost, and we ought to write it everywhere so that we'll always be reminded and so that we'll teach our children to fear the Lord. You know something? Someday, the gospel is going to be written all over. Someday, there's not going to be anything left except the gospel. There's nothing left. You're going to have lived for all sorts of things, but none of those are going to be with you. The only thing that's going to be with you is the gospel.
Amen.
And then you'll understand what it means to say my gospel, because you are part of the gospel. If you're saved, you're part of the gospel, you have nothing else to live for. Or else nothing else, or shall I say, nothing more important or nothing important. It's our gospel.
Amen.
And I believe the reason why we don't want to say our gospel or my gospel is because we shun the responsibility. If we say our gospel, that means that I have some responsibility in it. But we like to leave the responsibility with God. We like to say, well, God's going to take care of everything. And God's going to take care of everything. But God has already said, I've committed unto you men. I've given the responsibility to men, to you men, the gospel. Amen. You know, God could have done it, just like that song said. God could have done it. God could have said, this gospel I'm going to send by my own miraculous hand. Or he could have said, like he'd said in Revelation, he could have sent an angel to preach the everlasting gospel so that every single soul would hear it in his own language, in his own way. He could preach the everlasting gospel that way. But this is our gospel. Jesus Christ gave this gospel to us. This is the gospel that was hid for 4,000 years from all those Old Testament saints who desired to see that gospel. They wanted it to be part of their own, but it wasn't their gospel. God gave it to us. God gave it to us Christians. And just like that song says, if the seas, if the oceans, if the waves could take that gospel, could take the name of Jesus and give it to the foreign lands, if it could, it would. Because it's not ashamed of the name of Christ. It's not ashamed of the gospel. It would take it, but it can't because God gave it to men. God gave it to us. It's your gospel. No, don't say it's our gospel now anymore. Say it's your gospel. Because Paul said it's my gospel. He called it his own. He made it part of himself. He made it everything he had. It was his gospel. It was his office. God called him for the gospel for no other reason. Our gospel. But it also says, if our gospel be hid. And I don't think there ought to be any question in anybody's mind in here. Our gospel is hidden.
That's right.
Our gospel's hidden. You know, our gospel's hidden inside the Bibles of a lot of people in here who only open them when they want to get a blessing or when they want to do their duty of reading the Bible. And it's good to read the Bible. But the gospel is hidden. And the gospel should be proclaimed and discovered and opened and spread. The gospel is hidden. People, you know, it says right over in the next place that Satan has hidden it by blinding the minds of those that have heard. So the gospel is hid to those that have heard. And the only thing we can do is tell it again. Like that song, into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. What is the song? I am so glad that he sent it for me or that he died for me. Then he says, tell it again. Tell it again. He said in his last breath, he said, Lord, I believe. Tell it now to the rest. You see, it's hidden to those that have heard. It's hidden to those that have heard. Those that you've told, it's still hidden to. Their eyes are blinded. But something even more obvious, it's hidden to those that have never heard. It's hidden. Our gospel is not if it be hidden, it is hidden. When he says if, he didn't mean to say that it's not hidden or it could not be hidden. It's saying that it is hidden. It is hidden. And if anybody in here is fool enough to believe that the gospel's not hidden, then I can't help you. You know, somebody said it a good way. I think it was Brother Dale telling me, saying there's really no way to prove or no real reason how we could know that there's somebody who doesn't know the gospel. Because if we've met somebody that has never heard the gospel before, well, they heard it then. But he said, you know something, I know how I can tell, that there's a lot of people who've never heard the gospel. He said in all his, I won't mention how many years, but in all his years, he's never heard the gospel one time from somebody. Just come up on the street and tell him. He's never had somebody come to him and witness him. Now I have. I can remember in school when a fella handed me a card. And when I was a Christian in school, but I wasn't a very good Christian. Nobody would have known it and I wouldn't have told anybody. But there in school, he gave me a card. He said, can you read that? And I looked at that card and all I saw was a bunch of little jumbled lines. He said, can you read that? Finally, after a while, you know, they made my eyes cross and all sorts of things. They crossed your eyes. Finally, I saw it said Jesus. And he started to witness to me in school. You know, I didn't witness to anybody in school, but he started to witness to me in school. But anyway, I want to say that the gospel is hidden. And then it says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That if, to me, means it doesn't have to be. You know something? There's a lot of things we disagree on. A lot of things in this world, but there's one thing we ought to agree on. And that's that the gospel doesn't have to be hid.
Amen.
The gospel can be taken to every soul on earth. It can be. And that means that if it's not hidden, and God's done his part, and he's committed it to us, the only thing that lacks is our part.
That's right.
There's something dependent on our part. You know, he didn't say because the gospel is hid. Or he didn't say that since the gospel is hid. He said if the gospel is hid. It's not necessarily, it doesn't have to necessarily be true that the gospel is hid. We can spread the gospel. We can give the gospel.
Amen.
We can give the gospel. It doesn't have to be hidden. It depends on us. It depends on us. And now I've got five things that I believe it depends on. And I believe you'll find in these verses, maybe some of them don't correspond exactly to the message I'm bringing now. But they all fit. There's nothing. I'm not misapplying any of them. But all of them say something about if. You know, if the gospel be hid, it doesn't have to be. But there's a big if in the Bible, and it's if you will, or if you do, or if you are, if you, or if we, or if they, or if any man, or if someone, if who, if someone. And that means that the gospel, this hidden gospel, it doesn't have to be hid. It is, and if it is hid, if it is hid. And this is a sad thing. It's hid to them that are lost. It's a very sad thing. Those who are lost, it's hid to. It's not hid to those that are saved. Because Jesus Christ proclaimed and he said those that believe will go to heaven. and those that don't believe. And you can't believe unless you've heard. But it is hidden, and it doesn't have to be hidden, and the whole thing depends on you. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation. If you will hear. You know something? There's one thing I believe. There's five things. I'm going to bring them all out. But this is one thing I believe that we as Christians are not doing.
Amen.
You know something? There's a lot of people who didn't come tonight. You know why?
That's right.
Because they have no desire to hear. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear about missions. And I believe there's some of us in here who don't want to hear. We will not hear. It says today if you will hear. Today if you will hear. In other words, you don't have to hear. You can close your ears. You don't have to hear. Not everybody hears. But if you will hear. If you will hear. And let me tell you something. If you will hear, you'll have taken a step towards spreading the gospel.
Amen.
If you just listen to God.
Amen.
If you would just listen. If you just open your mind. You know, there's a lot of people who read the Bible, but they don't listen to the Bible. They read the Bible and they say, I'm trying to find out what God's will is in my life. I want to know the doctrines of God. I want to be straight. But they're not listening to God. They're listening to whatever they want to believe. You know, they've already decided what they want to believe. And they open the Bible and they read it and try to prove what they believe. We ought to listen to God when we read the Bible.
Amen.
We ought to listen to what He's trying to say.
Amen.
We ought to try to listen to it. You know, there's not enough people who are listening. There are not enough Christians who are listening. And let me tell you something. If our gospel's hid, it's because you are not listening. Because somebody's not listening if our gospel's
right.
hid. If our gospel's hid, it's because somebody's not listening. And that's why he said, if you will hear. You need to hear first. You need to listen to God. You need to listen to what he's saying. There's a lot of times when he says a lot of things about the gospel, about the Great Commission. But look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 1 says, this is a true saying, if a man desires. The office of desire to do. If a man desires. You know something? There's something else that's lacking. And the reason why our gospel's hid is because there's not enough Christians who have a desire.
Amen.
There's not enough Christians who have a desire, a burden, or a, in a sense, a willingness to desire. A willingness to want. They don't want what God wants. They don't want these lost to hear the gospel. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, it says. And do we desire that the lost hear? Or do we even care? You know, sometimes I find myself, it's a terrible thing. It's a cancer. But I find myself standing up on the back of a tailgate, hoping that nobody will come forward. And that's sinful. That's wicked. There's no desire. There's no desire. There's no desire to see someone saved. Do you have a desire? You know, sometimes I'll be in my room, and I'll have a desire come over me. I want to see someone saved. I want to see something done for the Lord. Sometimes I want to see somebody saved. I have that desire. But other times, I have no desire. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why our gospel is still hidden.
Amen.
It's still hidden. Because you don't have it. You don't really care. You don't want people saved. You don't want the gospel to be preached. You don't want the gospel to be spread out all over the world. God wanted it. Jesus wanted it. And so he gave it to you, but you don't want it. Listen, God, Jesus Christ, he listened. He listened. He listened to God Almighty, and he did what he was supposed to do.
Amen.
And he also desired.
Amen.
He desired. All of these things I'm going to read, you'll find Jesus did. Jesus has fulfilled his part. And the only thing that lacks is your part. You don't desire. Let me ask you something. Do you desire for lost people to be saved? Or do you desire just for the message to be sent? Just so they'd be sent? Or do you desire any of these things? Do you desire that Jesus Christ could have his message sent all over the world? Do you desire for these people out there? I'm not saying pity them. I'm saying do you desire for them? Do you see something that they need and that you ought to give? You know, there's a lot of people who desire to clothe them. There's a lot of people who desire to send them shoes, or give them medicine, or give them dentistry. You know what, let me go ahead and turn to that. That's Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, excuse me, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want to read this to you. It's a very good principle, I think. It says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to. You know, there's a lot of people now who desire to clothe the poor. Who desire to give to the poor. Who desire to give medical attention to the poor. There's a lot of people who want to give a lot of things to the poor. You know, back in Jesus' day, the poor just got left out. The poor didn't get rich. You know, it said, the deaf, they hear. And the lame, they walk. And the blind, they see. And the people who are without such and such in their body, they get it healed. But the poor, they don't get rich. You know what happens to the poor? They get the gospel preached to them.
Amen.
Some people might think that they got the raw end of the deal. But let me tell you something.
Amen.
That is the principle for today.
Amen.
It's time for us to quit worrying about the poor people's no shoes and quit worrying about not having a shirt or not having something else, not having enough food. Let's give them the gospel.
Amen.
Let's preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
Jesus Christ preached the gospel to
Amen.
The poor.
Amen.
Let's not worry about giving them shoes. Let's not worry about giving them shirts. I know there's needs. I know there's poverty. But those things that we could send the money for that kind of thing, how much more could we preach the gospel with?
Amen.
If you desire, we don't have a burden. We don't want a burden.
We don't have a burden, we don't want a burden.
And that's why we don't listen, because we don't want a burden. If we wanted a burden, we could get a burden. How many of you have prayed for it? Prayed, Lord, burden my soul. Some of us have. I prayed for the Lord to burden my soul. I prayed the Lord to give me a burden that I couldn't shake off like his brother Danny Cummins had. I mean, it looks to me like he has a burden. I don't know his heart, but it looks to me like he's got a burden he can't shake off. He's got something on his shoulder that he can't get off. It's a burden that says, I want to tell the gospel. I want to take souls to heaven. And that's the kind of burden I want. I want a burden I can't get off my shoulder. I want a burden I just can't get off of.
John chapter 7 and verse 17. John 7 and verse 17. If any man will do his will.
If any man will. Here's another problem. Probably one of the biggest problems you're not with. You know, you might be listening to God. A lot of us will go halfway.
A lot of us will go halfway into something and be willing to go that far. Willing to sacrifice that much.
But the Bible says, if any man will. You know, not everybody will. It says, if any man will. It isn't because every man will or because somebody will. It says, if any man will.
And it says, if any man will, because you don't have to will. You don't have to be willing. You don't have to be willing to do what God wants you to do. And you know something? God knows who's willing. You know, there are a lot of people who say, I'd be willing to do almost anything. I mean, I'd be willing to give up this or give up that or give up this or give up the other thing or do this or do that. I'd be willing, but they never do anything. And I believe that those who are willing, God takes them up on. I really do. I don't believe God.
That's right.
I don't believe God has had a willing servant somewhere that's not being used.
Amen.
I really don't. I just don't believe that God has a willing servant somewhere. Somebody who's sitting there saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm willing. I want to do something for you. Lord, I'm willing. Just take me. Just tell me. And he just sits there for all his life and never does anything. I just don't believe that.
Amen.
I believe that God has a key to those who use.
Right. This is one of the biggest keys that there is, I'm sure. If you're willing. Are you willing? You say, well, I don't want to listen. Well, are you willing to be made to want to listen like he was saying? Where did he go? Did he already leave?
He had to leave.
Like he was saying, Lord, I want to pray. You know, you might not want to pray. You might not have a desire. You might not want to listen, but are you willing to be made ready? Are you willing to be made with a desire?
You know something? We need to be willing. There's a lot of people who are willing just to go so far.
We need to be completely
willing. We need to be completely willing. You know something? I find that in myself. I'm willing to go so far, but I'm not willing just to keep. You know, there's something that holds back in all of us. Are you willing? And let me tell you something. The gospel, whether it's hid or not hid, depends on your will. It really does. I don't believe that there's anybody in here who's got a great philosophy of anything would tell you that the gospel, or could tell you biblically, that the gospel does not depend on your will. Because I believe that everything is set out, and I believe that everything past was going to be that way. There's a lot of things that are philosophically true, but one thing true right now is that if you're willing, the gospel won't be here.
Right, amen.
If you're willing, the gospel won't be here.
Amen.
You're not willing to suffer. You're not willing to give up certain things. You're not willing to leave behind. You know something? A lot of times we are willing to do certain things, and we always say, Lord, I'm willing to do anything except this. And that's not what God wants. Because there's always going to be something God wants you to do that you're not willing to do. If you can say, God, anything but this. Some people will say, Lord, I'm willing to go over to the mission field, but not that. Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want me to do, but just don't send me to South America. Lord, I'm willing to go to the mission field, but not the new tribes. I don't want to go to the tribes. You know something? We ought to be completely willing.
Amen.
Completely willing. Completely open our hearts and say, whatever it is, if any man will, believe me, if any man will, the gospel won't be here. If any man will, just will. If you listen. If you desire. If you will. You know something? There's another sad statement in Ezekiel chapter 22. I think you've all have probably heard it before. I'm going to read it again. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy.
But I found none. That should make up the hedge. Or that would make up the hedge. It says God sought for someone. He's seeking right now for someone. Who is willing. He's seeking for somebody who's willing. You know what it says, though, back in Ezekiel? It says, I found none.
You remember what... that's for another time. I won't get into that. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought for someone who would just stand in the gap. Who would just be willing to stand up. And I'd do the work if they'd just be willing. But I found not one willing. Not one willing.
Oh, yeah.
How about this church? You know something? There's some of us, perhaps, willing in the world. But how about this church? How about could Jesus say, I sought through that church of really good, fundamental, sincere believers at 6020 Oak Knoll. I sought through them, and I looked for one person willing. But I didn't find even one. Not one. You say, well, I was willing a long time ago, but he didn't call me. Well, there's a lot of excuses we could make, but let's just not make them. Let's just be willing now.
Amen.
God found none that would stand in the gap. John chapter 11 and verse 40.
John chapter 11 and verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? If thou wouldest believe. If thou wouldest believe.
First of all, he says, if our gospel be hid. And then he says, if you will hear. And then he says, if a man desire. And then he says, if a man is willing. And now he says, if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God. You know something? We're all willing to see the glory of God, aren't we? We're all willing. I think we're all willing to see the glory of God.
Amen.
I think we all are. You know, the Bible says in, and I don't even remember, but we're willing. We're willing to see the glory of God. Psalms chapter 44 verse 1 says, we've heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what works thou didst in their days and the times of old. Then in another psalm it says, but now it's time for thee to work, Lord.
Amen.
We've done things. We've seen things that we've done. We've seen the works of our own hands. But Lord, we want to see you work.
Amen.
How many of us really want to see God work?
Amen.
How many of us really want to see the glory of God?
Praise
the Bible says if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. If you just believe. You know something? We've got too much reliance on our own selves. You know something? There's too many missionaries. I heard it said. I believe his brother Jack Wood said it. He said that we used to pray that the Lord had sent forth labors. He said, but now I want you all to quit praying that the Lord had sent forth labors, because now there's not enough churches that had sent them. But God never asked for us to pray for churches to send laborers. He just asked for laborers, but he didn't ask for laborers that would go out into churches. He asked for laborers that just go. We don't have to depend on churches. And any man who's dependent on churches is not going for God. The Bible says that send forth laborers. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, not make churches to send them. You know, there used to be a time when missionaries had to go. You know what they do? They'd raise enough money to pay the passage over there, and that's all.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
There was a time when missionaries, when they wanted to go, they'd raise the money to pay the passage over there. Not to pay while their expenses while they were there, not to get a nice house. They'd get the passage over there and just trust to God for the rest. They didn't even have enough money to get back. Let's say they got over there. And what happens if they got sick or something? They didn't have enough money to eat or something. What happens if they decided to kick them out? They didn't even have enough money to get back. There was a time when missionaries had to rely on God.
Amen.
There was a time when I had to rely on God. There was a time when you had to rely on God. And let me tell you something, there's a trap that we all fall into. After we've had to rely on God, God starts sending more things our way because we were willing and faithful to rely on God. But he starts sending more things on our way, and we quit relying on God. We start relying on what we can do. We start relying on films. We start relying on tracks. We start relying on friends, on churches. We start relying on what we see. And not what God can do.
That's right.
And he says, if thou wouldest believe. He say, well man, Lord, you used to be with me. You used to be giving me miracles and blessings. But now I don't see them anymore. And you know why? It's because you won't believe.
Right.
We don't have any more faith in this world. We're just running. You know, Jesus said, he said, when I come back, I wonder if I'll find any faith on the world when I come back. Shall I find faith on the earth? You know, I don't know that he will. I don't believe that all of the thousands, and believe me, there's tens of thousands of missionaries going out today in this day, this Laodicean age. But they're not going out because God sent them. They're going out because churches sent them. You want to know how I know? Because you look at the amount of people that are willing to go even though the churches won't send them. You'll find a lot of people have gone 2 years on deputation, going around preaching to churches, and didn't get enough support. So they quit going. They said, well, the Lord must not want us to go. But God didn't say go if the churches will send you.
That's right.
God said go. Just believe me. Just believe what I said. Just believe that I've always been faithful. You know something? We've decided that God isn't always faithful. He's just not. There could be some times when he's not quite faithful. He's not quite faithful. God is faithful. God is always faithful.
Amen.
God has always been faithful.
Amen.
He's never failed you once.
Amen.
You know, that's why you don't pray. You just can't get it in your head to believe that God really answered prayer. Believe me, if you thought God answered prayer, if you believe that God answered prayer, you'd pray more often. You'd pray more often.
Amen.
Because if you believe God answered prayer, you'd want to see prayer answered. There's a lot. How many of you here don't have any needs? Nothing. Raise your hand. You have no need. Why aren't you praying more often? I'll tell you why. Because you don't believe. He said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, you should see.
Hallelujah.
Now let me tell you something. That's a statement of Jesus Christ, and it's a fact. It's a decree. He said, here's my decree. If you believe, I'll show you the glory of God.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of good statements in this chapter. Martha said, I believe that my brother will rise again. I believe he'll rise again at the last day. And Jesus said, wait a minute, slow down. Who said anything about the last day? He said, I'm the resurrection.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I am.
Amen.
I am the resurrection. How come we're looking for God's promises, we're looking for God's answers to prayer and answers to our faith, how come we're looking always for Him sometime in the future when He's ready? He said, I am the answer to prayer. I am all that you need. I am the answer to your faith. I am the faithfulness.
Right.
He says His name is called Faithful and True. You say, I believe God's faithful, but sometimes He's just not ready. Maybe He's putting me through a test. God is faithful. He is faithful and true. His name is called Faithful and True. If thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God.
Amen.
We won't believe God. There's not enough people in this world with faith. There's not enough people in this world willing to believe God. You know something? Some of us, some people think I really believe, and I really did. There was a time when I had everything that I was going to do was completely dependent on God. There was a time when I surrendered to go to the mission field knowing that I was a pretty good choice for Him, but that He could have probably picked somebody better. I was happy that the Lord did something, but to me and for me, and He chose me to go to the mission field, and I started wondering how I was supposed to go or what I was supposed to do. Didn't really know what to do. But I thought, you know, Lord, I'm willing to go to the mission field, but I got to have me a wife. I just got to have me a wife. I just can't go to the mission field all alone. You know, at least I don't want to. But there came a point in my life that God took away the one prospect I had, and that just about broke me. You know, I didn't have many prospects. I know that's hard to believe, but I didn't have a whole lot of prospects. I was what they call choosy, but I didn't have a whole lot of prospects. I had one prospect. I was real shy, and this one prospect didn't bother her too much. So I had one prospect, and the Lord just took her away, and I thought that was pretty unfair. For a couple months, I badmouthed God. I wasn't going to live for God if He did something like that to me. But then there came a time when I was walking up at UTSA. I was walking up the stairs, and I didn't go to class that day. I remembered a verse. It said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And for the first time, I realized that our God up there is not a God as big as the sky. Whenever I prayed, I'd look up at the sky, because I'd see how vast the sky is. There's just no end. It's deep and vast. It goes from one horizon to the other. Because I thought God was a huge, big, vast, deep, something we can't comprehend. And I didn't really realize that God was a God who cared for me. And that verse just opened up to me, and He says, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. And I realized God cares for me.
Amen.
And I said to the Lord right there, I said, Lord, if You cared for me, if You care for me right now, then God, I'll do anything You've got for me. I'll go without a wife. So I went and down to Guadalajara and checked out on the school, and I stood up right back here somewhere and said, it was on a Wednesday night, I believe. I said, I'm going to leave in 1 month, and I'm going to go to language school. And, oh, Sylvia, you know how she is. She got up and started crying. Oh, Billy's going to go, and he doesn't even have a wife and all these things, you know. Well, praise the Lord. Is she even here? I don't even think she's here.
She's here
for me. And when I came to the point to believe that, I was willing to do anything. So I stepped out. You know, so I was going full-time at the time. I was getting $150 to $250 a month, sometimes $275. And I could sort of make it living with my dad and eating off him and having him pay my insurance and having him pay this and having him pay that. I could do it. You know, like the brother said, making sure you leave just at the right time to make sure they have to pay for the donuts and the popcorn. I could just make it with that much, but I wasn't worried. I really wasn't. I said, I'm going, and I don't care about tuition. I don't care if they, I'm just going to go. And I really didn't have a thought in the world. Not a thought in the world about where I was going to live or what I was going to do. I just once realized that I believe God cares for me. I believe God.
Amen.
And I don't care what else happens. I believe God. You know, there's a story about an enemy. I mentioned it the other day, Vanya. If you can get that book, go ahead and get it and read it. It's a good book. And you'll be surprised. God does show the glory of God. Even in this day, it happened in 1972 in the land of Russia. This man was a young man in Russia who was a believer. Now, in Guatemala, they have a problem with words. Since most of the believers are Pentecostal, they call people who aren't Catholics, they call them Pentecostal. So I in Guatemala was a Pentecostal. Well, in Russia, since most of the people who aren't with the organized religion, who aren't with the state and the Communist Party, and who aren't atheistic, they call them Baptists. So this man was a Baptist. All right? He was a believer. And he believed. He was a Baptist. All right? He went. Of course, they all are drafted. They're all drafted in the army as soon as they get a certain age. Well, he was drafted. And they told him, you know, you can go in the army and you can just keep quiet and do everything and just don't make a noise. Just don't be too show. And you'll make it. You'll get all the way through there and you'll come out. You'll have a lot of records on you and no problem. And then you can start preaching again. But he told his family, he had one brother that was an atheist, didn't believe, but he told his family, he said, listen, I just don't believe I can do that. He said, I'm going to be just like I am right now. Back here in my old out country home, they didn't bother people in the country. He said, I'm going to do that. You know something? He said he was going to do that, but it's because he believed God. He just believed God. So he went in, and first couple of weeks, he was there, no problem. He was talking, but no, it wasn't really a big problem. But then one day, he found a place where he could pray early in the morning. He got up early in the morning, went out praying. He was having such a good time praying, and this man was a prayer. If that true book is true, he prayed an awful long time, but he was praying, and it made him about 2 minutes late for the fall-in, for the roll call. And the guy and the big old sergeant came up to him, or lieutenant, or whatever he was. He says, "Why were you late?" He said, "I was praying." And, of course, laughter and everything. He said, "Okay, now, why were you late?" He said, "I was praying." "Well, to who were you praying?" "Praying to the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Okay, I'll see you in my office this afternoon." Well, that began a big string of a lot of things, but this man believed God. A string of amazing things. But you know something? And I don't believe it's impossible for any one of us.
Amen.
This man endured some things that physically you can't endure. One time he was at one spot and they were bawling him out, telling him this, telling him the other thing. And finally the man says, this was in some part in Russia where it got real cold at night. He said, "Okay, until you reject what you believe, until you change your mind and are willing to come up here and confess that it's all a lie and that you are willing to be an atheist and start living a good Russian Soviet citizen's life, you'll stand outside tonight in summer uniform." And they say it gets about 25 degrees below in centigrade. They say that's how cold it got. And that's just not physical. You can't stay out there standing still in summer uniform probably for more than an hour or two before you just fall away and die. Okay, so they said, "You'll stand out there until you're willing to walk over to my office and recant and repent." He said, "Yes, sir." Well, it was just lucky enough, he believed God enough, that before he had walked into that office, an angel appeared to him and said, "Be not afraid, I'll be with you."
Amen.
Now, you know, some of the things that happen in that book are sort of hard to believe. And that's our problem, because we just don't believe. We don't believe God, so how can we believe the miracles that happen when somebody does believe God? We don't believe God enough, and he believed God. And an angel told him, he says, "Just don't be afraid." And at first, he was struck with fear, knowing what was going to happen to him. He stands out in that cold, cold air. He knew he was going to die. But then as he was putting on a summer uniform, he remembered that angel who had walked with him. He appeared in the top of a tree, up above a tree, and said, "Fear not." Or he said, "Do not be afraid. I'll be with you. I'll be with you." He didn't know at the time what it was going to be about. But then he realized that angel had promised to be with him for this trial. So he said, "Fine." And he walked out, and all the people in his class watched him walk out in his dorm. He walked outside and stood on guard at the guardhouse there in his summer uniform. And 3 or 4 hours later, and that commander of that unit sitting in there walking around with one of the sergeants and walking around saying, "Man, I guess he's dead by now." And they didn't want him to die. They didn't like that. That's not real good success. So they bundled up in all their big old heavy overcoats, 2 or 3 of them, I guess, and they walked outside with the big snow boots and everything. And they walked out over there and waiting, blizzard. It was a bad day. It was a bad night. They walked over there, and there was this man in a summer uniform standing up, just like that. And they looked at him and said, "There's something wrong. There's something wrong." And they walked over there, and it says right there in the book, it says they and all those coats were just shivering with cold. And that man was standing there just as if he was in the summer.
Amen.
And they walked back and said, "We'll give him a few more hours. He's got a lot of resistance." So they gave him all that night.
Praise the Lord.
They gave him all that night, and they called him in the next day. He said, "It's pretty cold out there, wasn't it?" "Yes, sir, it's cold." He said, "Well, you're not ready to repent, are you?" "Recant." He said, "No." So he said, "Okay, tonight you'll go out there too." And that guy smiled. He said, "This will do it." I mean, he got by one day, but this is going to do it. So they left him out there another day. It turned out they left him out there 12 days until some people started realizing something's going on. And they would stop out there and watch that man standing out in the cold when them standing next to the glass was freezing them out. And they'd watch that man standing out in summer uniform out in the cold. And you know, you don't believe what I'm saying, do you? Because you don't believe God. And you don't believe that the glory of God could happen to you. Or in 1972 when this happened. Well, after the 12th day, they realized that the rumors were getting spread around. They had to hush it up because they couldn't get rid of him. And they certainly weren't going to let this rumor get out. So they had to hush it up and they put him away. Well, they sent him to do some other things. And this man believed God. I'm telling you, it's a miracle after miracle happened to this man. They couldn't believe it. One time they were all waiting for an atheistic lecture class. The atheist teacher was going to teach them on the bads of religion and how atheism has finally been proven to be the best way and all that. But the teacher was late for some reason. There were two teachers. They were both late. So the class decided, "Hey, we have a good idea. We're going to have fun with our brother Ivan." I don't know. I think Ivan is the name for John in Russian, but they call him Vanya. And they were going to have a good time with him. "Let's have a debate on atheism and on religion." He said, "Well, I'm willing."
So he got up there, and that man, one of the guys, none of them actually stood up to witness with. He said, okay, you tell us about what you believe. And so he started telling them about God. And one guy in the back, smoking a cigarette and laying back, real skeptic, he said, listen, you can't prove God. Why don't you just forget it? There ain't no God. You can't prove it. He said, no, I can't prove it. He says, well, listen, if you can't prove God, I won't believe in him. I said, but I'll tell you what, tomorrow I'll believe in him. If your God will promise to give me a pass tomorrow to go home. And that's sort of troubling. You don't know really to step out in faith in that kind of a thing. But it says that he got a peace in his heart. And he looked over that guy and said, okay, God is going to give you a pass tomorrow to go home.
Wow.
And you know what he did? That night, that man was just laughing. They all laughed and they all went home. You know, the teachers came in and they all had the time. And that night he went over there and sat next to his bed and said, listen, since you're going to be a believer tomorrow, and he started talking to him about all the things he was going to have to do. He said, now listen, when you go home, I'm sure there's going to be, and that man was just dumbfounded by the fact that this man actually believed that he was going to get a leave. Leaves in the Russian army are rare. Rare as hens to you. Some people say they're rare. You can't get leaves in the Russian army. You're drafted in there for 2 years and just, that's fine. So, this man was just dumbfounded that this guy could actually come over and be telling him that here's a Bible and here you can get your people and you need to read this scripture and you first believe and all this. He's telling him all these things. That man says, listen, why don't you just go to sleep, okay? He was getting upset, getting really irritated. He spent up all night and they stayed up so late that Ivan slept late. And when he woke up, oh man, he was too late to see the action. But he jumped up and looked out the window, and there was a crowd of men gathered at the outside gate. And one man jumping up between them saying, hey, yippee, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in him. And he was running out there, and he got in the car and took off and got in the train station and went home because he got a leave. And God gave him that leave, and he became a believer. And all the men in that company had said, we'll all believe if he gets a leave. Every one of them had said it. Said, we'll all believe. Oh, they all walked back in. And they all believed. They all really knew that there was something to what he said. But When the company commander saw all that was happening out there, he ran outside to see what was going on. And by this time, the guy had already gotten in the taxi or the train or the bus or whatever it was to go. And he said, what's going on? He said, well, Ivan said last night, and of course, this guy didn't like this Ivan guy. He said, Ivan said last night that such and such a guy was going to get a leave from God and that was going to prove God's existence, and he got a leave this morning. That man said, man, that Ivan must have connections all the way to Moscow to know he was going to get a leave. So he said, well, I'm going to stop this right now. So he sent some of his secret people off to get that guy. It wasn't but a few minutes that the guy had left. He went to send to get it to revoke his leave so he wouldn't leave, so God would be disproved. But they said they got to the bus station. He was nowhere to be found. And somehow, some way, that guy had gotten on the bus that was ahead of them, or somehow, I mean, on the train that was ahead of them. It just couldn't be, but it was a miracle because somebody believed God.
Amen.
Now, you don't believe these miracles can happen because you don't believe God. And Jesus said I not unto thee? But if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God.
Amen.
A lot of other things happened. I could just keep going. I'm not going to. But this man died because they couldn't get rid of the miracles. They couldn't get rid of his faith. You know, they sent him to one camp, and he was there a couple of days, and they had sent him there for 7 years. And this guy, after a couple of days of torturing him and beating him and putting him under pressure cells, things where he couldn't hardly speak, doing all sorts, putting his feet into ice and freezing them. And yet his foot wouldn't freeze. He said, listen, all this pain you're going through, he said, you're going to go through it 7 years unless you recant. And he looked at him and said, well, I know one thing. I'll go through them 7 years if God wants me to, but if not, I'll be home tomorrow.
Amen.
And that didn't go over too well with the KGB either. So, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. That's what Jesus said, said I not unto thee. And why does he have to say it twice? Said I not unto thee. You know, we ought to believe God. Amen. God can. And you won't believe, but I'm asking you right now to believe God.
Amen.
You say, God's calling me to the mission. God's calling me, but I'm just afraid. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. You know, this church can't handle anymore. This church couldn't handle the ones we've got now.
That's right. Amen.
This church can't handle not even one, really, according to the statistics. I mean, if you look around, this church can't even handle one. But it's not up to this church.
Amen.
God didn't say if your church is able.
Amen.
He said, just do it. Just
Amen.
Believe. He said, and if you'll believe when it's impossible to believe, then I'll show you the glory of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. Never, ever had it been seen that a man in the grave 4 days was raised again. Never. Oh, some on the way to the grave were raised. Yeah. And some, just after they died, were raised up. One woman had her dead raised. But never had it seen. And they said, Lord, he's been in the grave 4 days and he's stinking. And he's stinking. But now we say the same thing. Man, Lord, that's just a little too much. I mean, we know you could have killed him if he'd have been alive, but that's just too much. No, I don't think there's anything too much, and we ought to believe God. We ought to believe God. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody sort of wondered about him, thought, man, this guy's crazy. But when that corpse started hobbling out of that, boy, you're talking about people just falling down right and left and saying, good night, what has happened here? My, that man's got power over the dead. He's got power over death. And you know what said multitudes believed? Because of that.
That's right.
But you know, you don't have to see that happen to believe God. We know it happened. And believe me, when Jesus died on the cross, he died just as sure as if you'd have been there. You weren't there. And so it seems sort of imaginary and unrealistic, but he died just as sure. And when he rose Lazarus, he rose just as sure. And when he rose again from the grave himself, he rose just as sure as if you'd have been there and saw it yourself.
Amen.
And Thomas was the one who didn't see and didn't believe. And he said, blessed are those that see even though they believe even though they haven't seen.
That's right.
He said, if you would believe, it's up to your belief. If you're willing to believe God, our gospel won't be hid.
Amen.
Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. This is the last point, the longest point I might add, but the last point. Luke 16 and verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? I'd like to leave that word not out. If therefore ye have been faithful. If you're faithful. If you know something, it don't matter what you've done in the past. Faithfulness has nothing to do with that. Believe me. You might have failed in the past, but faithfulness has nothing to do with the past.
Amen.
Faithfulness has to do with right now.
Amen. Amen.
And can we count on you tomorrow? Faithfulness cannot be counted with the past. You did run well. That's not faithfulness. You did run well. Sounds real good. You know, all of us can say we did run well. How about now? You're running well now. Faithfulness has nothing to do with the past.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. You might not be a seminary graduate, and you might not be a good preacher like me. You might not think, I'm joking. You might not be, I had to tell you that, I knew it'd be hard for y'all to know. Y'all might not have all the qualities that I have. You might not have all the great ability. You know, a lot of people say I got a lot of talents. Well, I tell Cindy, you know, that's pretty rotten. They can't do things and they say it's because God didn't give them talents. I can, so they say it's because God gave me talents. That's pretty rotten. I worked hard for all of them. So you might not have all the talents God gave me. You might not have all the talents God gave me. And you might not be able to speak Spanish like I can speak Spanish. And you might not know the Word of God like I know it or like anybody else know it. I'm not lifting up myself. What I'm saying is you might not have what you think is necessary for a Christian. To be a person who would spread, who takes the gospel for their own and spreads it. You might not have all those things. And you might say, I need to go to seminary. But you don't need to go to seminary. You know something? It seems to me that now with the abundance of seminaries, we've lost our faith. And now with the abundance of seminaries, we've lost our drive, our
Amen.
Zeal, our desire.
Amen.
Now with the abundance of money, we've lost the gospel. Amen. We've lost it. We don't have it anymore. You know something? It seems to me that a lot more gospel went out under Charles Wesley and George Whitfield and William Carey and David Livingston. It seems like a lot more gospel went out through their ministries and through Martin Luther and through Paul, who had no money. You remember what I read about Luther? He said, I have no money, no property, and I don't even desire any of these things. And if they've taken them away, I've lost nothing. He said, I don't have any of these things. And if they take away my life, now that we've got seminaries, you know, it sounds almost like, you remember when Lazarus rose from the dead, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. When we rise from the dead, we're stripped with all sorts of things. Man, we are wrapped around with all sorts of traditions and vain things. We don't know a lot of things. And it's up to these people and those work that you do, it's up to that. To loose you and let you go.
Amen.
So you can see and work. And so now we send them back into the graveyards, into the seminaries, and into these things, and they wrap them right back up so that they're still worthless. You know, you don't need seminary, believe me. What you need is a will to listen.
Amen.
What you need is a desire to do the work.
Amen.
What you need is to be willing.
Amen.
What you need is faith. And then what you need most of all is to be faithful.
Amen.
You need to be faithful. Jesus Christ was faithful. He was faithful all the way to the end, and he's still faithful. You see, Jesus is going to do his part.
Amen.
The reason why our gospel's hid is because you're not doing your part.
Amen.
The reason why the gospel's hid is because I'm not doing my part. It says, if you have been faithful. You're not necessarily faithful, but you can be faithful. Not quitters. Faithful. There's a lot of words about faithful. A lot of different ways to be faithful. You can be faithful with money. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. I better read that because I can't quote it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. We need to be faithful in all of these things. I'm going to mention about five or six. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You need to be faithful with your money.
Amen.
You know, like Willie said, I promised people support,
And then the economic hard times came. He said, I went into debt $2,000 before I got out of debt, but sending that support.
Amen.
He said, you know why? He said, because I said I was going to do it, and I was going to do it. He said, you shouldn't make an oath if you're not going to complete it, if you're not going to fulfill it. And that's true. You need to be a faithful with your money. You need to be a faithful worker. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
A faithful worker. 2 Timothy 2:2. You need to be a faithful teacher and a faithful witness. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's not right. You know something? The other day I was thinking, you know, I need to be more faithful in praying. And I got up in the morning, man, I've been sick all this week. Man, I feel bad. I'm tired. My legs are hurting. I feel like I've got an excuse. You know, Lord, as soon as I get over the sickness, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start doing these things. And then I got to realizing, you know, Satan understands all this stuff. And if he knows that my sickness is going to keep me from praying, he's going to keep me sick.
That's right.
And so, you're going to have to pray even when you're sick.
Amen.
In season and out of season. You're going to have to preach even when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
Even when the situation doesn't call for it. Even when it's hard. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when you're sick. You got to preach. You got to be instant in season. And you got to preach the word faithful. It says you need to be a faithful preacher.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:9. 1 Peter 5:9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You need to be a faithful warrior. Resisting steadfastly. Are you a faithful prayer warrior? Resisting Satan. You know something? You might have listened to the Lord. You might have listened and you might have heard what he wanted you to do. You might have had the desire and the want to. You might have been willing. You might have even believed God. The Bible says you got to be faithful.
Amen.
You can't start now and quit tomorrow. There's nobody who would hire a fella who's not faithful if he knew it.
That's right.
Nobody wants somebody who's unfaithful. And neither does the Lord. You need to be a faithful warrior. Resist steadfast. You know something? It is required of a soldier that he be found faithful.
Amen.
It's required of stewards that they be found faithful. It's required of people who want to spread the gospel that they be found faithful.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. If you're not faithful, then our gospel is still hidden.
That's right.
But if you're faithful, then our gospel won't be hidden. It will not be hidden. It says if our gospel is hidden, it doesn't have to be hidden. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation 2:10. It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Amen.
Faithful unto death. Then look at verse 13. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith.
Amen.
Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. You know something? We need to be faithful in a lot of things. Faithful in suffering, and faithful all the way unto death to be a faithful martyr. You know something? If we had more faithful martyrs, and I don't believe somebody can say that I'm willing to die for Christ if they're not willing to live for Christ.
Amen.
And I don't believe somebody can say I'm willing to live for Christ if they're not willing to die for Christ.
Amen.
You know, I've heard some people say that a lot of people are willing to die for Christ but not willing to live for Christ. But I believe a martyr is a man who has no life on this earth that he cherishes at all. And that means he's living for Christ. And he's a man who's willing to take what God offers him, that crown of martyrdom, that glory of the suffering. He's willing to take that. It says, be thou faithful unto death. Antipas was my faithful martyr. You know something? Faithfulness is all that's required of us when you get down to it. Faithfulness, that's all that's required. God told you to believe. But when you believe, all that's required is faithfulness. Do you believe God enough to be faithful? Have you listened to God? Are you willing to hear? He says, if you will hear. If you will hear. You don't have to hear. But if you will, our gospel won't be hid. I'm telling you that. Our gospel won't be hid if you would just hear.
Amen.
And if you desire, do you have any desire? You know, a lot of people got a real problem. They have no desire. You need to have a desire. You need to pray for desire. You need to want a desire. But then you need to desire that our gospel not be hid.
Amen.
Our gospel is hid, but it doesn't have to be hid if you have a desire. If any man will do his will, are you willing? If you would have believed, I would have shown you the glory of God. If you just believe.
Amen.
Just believe. You know something? We all want to see the glory of God. And he said all you have to do is believe. Now, belief, just belief, ain't going to do anything. But you believe to the point you'll step out You'll even stick your neck out and lose some things maybe. But if you just believe, you'll see the glory of God.
Amen.
You know, we all like to see miracles. But the reason why we don't see miracles is because we're depending and relying on something that is not God. We're relying on this church to support us. We are relying on something else. We're just not relying. When we come up here to preach, we're not relying on God to move in hearts. We need to rely on God. If you would believe, you'd see the glory of God. If you'd believe in prayer, you'd see the glory of God. And if you just be faithful. If you just be faithful, our gospel wouldn't be good.